Fish farming is the fastest growing form of agriculture in the world. Aquaculture, as it's known, is flourishing in part because the catch from ocean fishing has leveled off. But fish farmers are having trouble finding enough little fish to feed the big fish. So the nation's soybean farmers are offering to step in. Here's NPR's Snigdha Prakash.
There's just one small problem. When fish farmers feed soy proteins or other vegetable proteins to salmon or trout, the fish sulk. They don't eat, or if they eat, they don't gain weight. Ron Hardy is director of the Aquaculture Research Institute at the University of Idaho.
Plants play defense by producing compounds in some of their seeds that have deleterious effects when animals consume them.
Land animals have evolved to deal with those difficult compounds. Most fish have not. Despite years of study, scientists still don't know which plant compounds cause the problems so they can get rid of them, partly because they haven't had money to do research.
We started approaching some of the commodity groups 15 years ago or more, and we got some interest, but it's turned out to be kind of a chicken and an egg situation in that companies are interested if you can demonstrate that there's an existing market for their products.
Of course, the market didn't exist because the fish had indigestion. But pressure kept mounting on the traditional sources of food for fish. One big problem with traditional fish feed developed in the late 1990s. Scientist Ron Hardy says fish farmers used to add rendered animal parts to fish feed until the outbreak of mad cow disease in Europe.
That eventually resulted in a ban of the use of rendered products, not just from cows, but from all animal species in animal diets. This eliminated a huge quantity of protein sources that had traditionally been used in salmon and other fish diets.
The ban on feeding rendered animal parts applied to fish sold only in Europe, but fish farmers around the world began looking for alternative sources of protein. The main part of the farmed fish diet was still small ocean fish, but as aquaculture expanded, worries grew that one day there wouldn't be enough little fish to feed the big fish, or that the little fish would be too expensive. At the same time, American soybean farmers began to face their own pressures from competitors in Latin America. They went looking for new markets for their beans. Carnivores like salmon and trout may not like soy, but the soybean farmers had bigger hopes for Chinese carp. Diane Bellis, a consultant to soybean farmers, says carp are vegetarian, and in China they mostly ate farmyard scraps.
There's been a huge success on the part of the American Soybean Association in converting the Chinese fish farmers from feeding whatever's laying around to their carp and switching to soybean meal.
The research helped generate such a large demand for soybeans that by the year 2000, the Chinese, who used to be soybean exporters, had become the biggest importers of U.S. soybeans. By now, you'd think the potential of the fish feed market would have been crystal clear to soybean farmers. But it took a small group in Indiana to make that leap. They finally saw that a big scientific push was needed to get carnivorous fish to eat their soy. For years, the Indiana Soybean Board had been funding small-scale research by fish nutritionist Paul Brown of Purdue University. Diane Bellis says 2 years ago, the Indiana farmers asked the National Soybean Board to fund Brown's research on a far bigger scale.
The Indiana Soybean Board decided this was someone they wanted to work with and did a little arm twisting.
And the arm twisting worked. The 62 soybean farmers who sit on the United Soybean Board decided to give Paul Brown and a team of university scientists $700,000 to find out how soybeans can be modified so salmon and trout will eat them. If the scientists succeed, it's likely only the beginning of an increasingly vegetarian future for carnivorous fish. Fish nutritionists are already studying barley, corn, and canola, and they're hoping to persuade other farmers to become patrons of science. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.